morning. So this week's parsha is Parshas Netzavim. So in looking at Parshas Netzavim, and I guess being in El Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur mode, the thing which sort of scares you in the face is one particular pasuk which will sort of take us in a specific direction. I didn't take that chumash, but it's Perek Lamed, pasuk Yud Aleph. It's marked off as Shishi. Short parsha this week, only one parsha in the seven. The Torah says like this: Ki haMitzvah hazos asher anochi mitzavecho hayom lo niflesi nimchav lo rechokahi. The mitzvah that I'm commanding you today, this mitzvah I'm commanding you today, it's not far from you, it's not distant. Lo b'shamayim he, it's not up in the heavens anymore. Which would require you to say, "Mi ala lanu hashamayim v'yikachel lanu." Who's going to go up to heavens and then bring it down? V'yashmeinu osav v'nasenda. Who's going to bring it down for us to hear it and to learn it and to do it? V'lo me'avar layamin. It's not on the other side of the river. Le'mor mi avar lanu elavar yam v'yikachel lanu. Who's going to cross over the river to bring the Torah to us, the mitzvah to us? V'yashmeinu osav v'nasenda and teach it to us, and that we should be knowledgeable. Rather, ki karo ve'lecha adavar ma'od b'ficho ve'vavcha la'asoso, the matter is close to you, in your heart and your mouth, in order to do it. I think it's the famous song by now. But, so what's it talking about? What's the mitzvah azos? What mitzvah is it? Very nice, the Torah tells us, this mitzvah is not distant from you, but what mitzvah is it referring to? The what?
Avodah Hashem.
Well, okay, that's, you know, very broad, but right, that certainly is one possibility, which some of the Farshim say, yeah, mitzvahs, those means all the mitzvahs, it means the Torah. The Torah is not distant, the Torah is not up, it was brought down by Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have to go up the mountain to mountain to get it. But it's something which is close, something which is accessible for us to get. The Ramban, however, gives a different explanation. The first thing he says, yeah, mitzvahs, those, there are those that say, Al kola Torah kula, that it's talking about the entirety of the Torah. V'hanacho, and he says that that's not the correct shot, the correct understanding. Al kola Torah yomar, if it was talking about the entire Torah, it would have said, ki ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavech hayom. It wouldn't say the word zos. Zos implies this, something specific. You wouldn't say this as referring to something specific if you're referring to the entirety of the Torah. If you're saying kiya mitzvah, okay, so you could say mitzvah is not written in the plural, but it means the concept of mitzvah isn't something distant. But a mitzvah hazos sounds like, you know, it's the same thing as vizos ha-Torah, right? We point to it. It's referring to something specific. So the fact that it says zos, this, is bothering the Ramban. He says it can't be referring to the entire Torah. Rather, what is it referring to? Aval mitzvah zos ala tshuva nizkeres. It's talking about the mitzvah of tshuva. Ki vashevosa el levavecha v'shavta ar Hashem alokecha mitzvah sheyase osonu lasos mitzvah sheyitzava osonu lasos kein. And that's the mitzvah that I talk about. It's not distant from you. The possibility of tshuva is something which is open to something which is open to everybody, and the Jew is never too distant, is never too far from Hashem to be able to do tshuva. So I thought maybe we'll look a little bit at some highlights of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam was the one.
Where does he get that from?
Where does who?
Where does the Rambam get that from?
The Rambam gets that from that as opposed to any other mitzvah. So the Rambam says, if you look back at the beginning of the parsha, the beginning of the perek, the beginning of Perek Lamed, right, which is 10 psukim before this pasuk, it says, so the beginning of the parsha says we entered into a covenant with Hashem, a bris with Hashem, and as we read about in last week's parsha, there are implications to it. If you do what Hashem wants, then you're showered with blessings, and if you don't, then Rachman al-Islam, the curses come.
But the word shav and shuv is over and over in those two.
Right, so if you just keep looking now, Hashem has adu v'necha, v'hashivosa el uvavecha, you should return it to your heart, b'chol agoyim asher yidachah, Hashem rakecha shama. So, when if you've strayed and you're getting these klalos, so then you should return it to your heart. And the next pasuk says, "Vishavta ad Hashem alokecha v'shamata bekolov." Vishavta, you should return to Hashem and listen to His voice. And then come back at this covenant that I'm making with you, all the details, you should return to that. And if you return to Hashem, then Hashem will return to you the brachos. Then it sort of goes off and elaborates on this. And then, and even if you look at pasuk vav, it says, "Umal Hashem alokecha eslavavcha veslav derecha." Hashem will literally circumcise. It means to uncover. That's basically what's happening with the milah. And Hashem will uncover your hearts and allow the Torah to penetrate your hearts. One of the acronyms that's given for the month of Elul is from this pasuk, right? Eslevavcha ve'eslevav, right? Aleph from eslevavcha, lamed vav ve'es, and lamed levav. So again, the fact that these psukim are correlated with tshuva, you're right. The mitzvah zos alone wouldn't have told them that it was tshuva, but in the context of the overall parsha, the verse that we skipped over, the Ramban and others, I'll say the Tzfornos said the same thing as well, that it's saying that, again, in the context of a bris, that which Hashem wants to encourage us is that if we move astray and we're not doing what we're supposed to do, it's not just that tshuva is an option, but that tshuva is something which is accessible, it's something which is reachable, it's something which is attainable.
Okay, so that makes sense, I think.
Yes, I think so too.
But then how does everybody else explain the word zot?
Right. So they're not getting into details. What they would probably say is that the same way you can have the Zos HaTorah, right, when we say with the Haggadah, this is the Torah, so when it's referring to the mitzvah, when it says Ki HaMitzvah HaZos, it's not referring to the 613 mitzvahs as a collection of 613 mitzvahs, it's referring to the Torah, which encapsulates all those mitzvahs, and therefore it's not that difficult to say Zos.
Okay, so I have to believe that in other places here it says HaMitzvah HaZot.
Right? In the Torah? These exact words? I'm not sure that. I don't think so. I'm not gonna go out on a limb, but I don't think so.
Really?
Not in the context of a specific. I don't think so.
Okay.
We'll have to do a Bar Ilan. Do a Bar Ilan search later.
I'll check. Again,
I don't think she was bothered by that. Again, the Ramban, I think now is understandable.
No, I agree with him now. I just don't understand then.
Those that disagree. I think those that disagree are coming more from the perspective.
Especially, if you're right,
and about which
really
point?
Isn't written anywhere else.
I think I'm right, but I'm not
sure.
Then
they have a stronger argument. But if it is written elsewhere.
I'm pretty sure that I'm right. Well, we'll Bar Ilan it later to check. Again, it's certainly possible that I'm mistaken.
Bar Ilan is, I love it. Like we say, we'll Google it.
Exactly. That's a verb. It could be something that Farshim do try to explain specifically how they deal with that problem. I don't see anybody. Specifically addressing it here, but that's the basic machlokas again, with many assuming that at first the mitzvah of tshuva. So I figured, when else but now are we going to talk about the mitzvah of tshuva? One of the remarkable things about the Rambam in general, and in particular about the Rambam Pesachos Tshuva, is that, again, the Rambam in general, basically, if you read the Haktam, we're not going to talk about it in detail now why the Rambam thought this was the case, but the Rambam basically, in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, assumed that after he collects all of the Psak Halacha, what should emerge as practice in terms of what we should be doing from all of the Gemaras and all of the corpus of Chazal, he basically assumed you don't need another book. Which is why he called it Mishnah Torah. It's basically a summary of the Torah. He assumed that you need still Torah Shebichtav, which is why you'll find sometimes that the Rambam doesn't usually tell stories in the Mishnah Torah. It's a halacha book. And he's not usually there to tell us history and things like that. What's interesting is that at the beginning of the halachos of Chanukah, he gives us the entire story of Chanukah. By Purim, he doesn't give us the story of what happens with Megillas Esther. And many of the Mefarshim explain the reason is because the Rambam, if you go back to the introduction, the Rambam assumed that basically Torah Shebechav is always necessary. The Torah Shebechav is necessary, but not necessary in that form. If I can water it down into what people should do, then people can use my book, because again, it's just a collection of the, we'll call it the most important. You know, the Talmid HaChachamim, certain people will learn everything, and everybody else will just learn what to do. And if that's the case, so then he assumed that people will be learning the Tanakh and learning his Sefer. So if you learn Tanakh and his Sefer, so you'll know why Purim exists. Because there's a story of Esther, which is written in Tanakh. The story of the Chashmonaim is not included in Tanakh. So in terms of the background, the proper historical background to the story of Hanukkah, the Rambam in his Halacha Sefer had to include it, because otherwise there would be this gap. You wouldn't understand why we're making a big deal about lighting these candles. What nace are we talking about? What miracle are we trying to commemorate? Okay, so that's why the Rambam assumed that should be the case. And again, it only sort of panned out, I guess, halfway over the course of history, which is that the Rambam is very, very well accepted, but it was never as a replacement for the Gemara, but it supplements it. It helps the Halacha, you know, emerge more clearly. But the other thing that the Rambam did is the first Sefer of the Rambam, which is the Sefer Hamada, he really discusses Hashkafa also, and he talks about the principles and the Ikarim and the certain basic tenets of our belief and what they are. And at the end of that Sefer, he has Hilchos Tshuva. And it's really the first compilation of the different statements of Chazal in terms of trying to put together a organized book about Tshuva and about what one needs to do. It's 10 Prakim, which it's assumed that the Rambam did purposely, because by having 10 prakim in Hilchos Tshuva, he made it very easy that people could learn and review one perek during every day of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So that you'll start from the beginning on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and on Yom Kippurim you'll be completing Hilchos Tshuva, which again will just enhance the Mitzvah Sayom. Again, that's the theme of these days, is certainly Tshuva. So before the Rambam begins Halachos, he always highlights the mitzvah. What exactly is the mitzvah which is being elaborated upon in the Halachos? And it's called the koteret, or the heading. And he says there's one mitzvah in these Halachos, v'hi sheyashuv achote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yizvada, that the sinner should return from his sin in front of Hashem v'yizvada and admit it. So right away the Rambam is telling us something which is very important, which is that it's not enough to simply change course moving forward. There's this vidui, the fact that we admit that we've done wrong, is fundamental to the mitzvah. That in order to accomplish the mitzvah of tshuva, one has to go through the step of realizing and saying, Hashem, I made a mistake. And says the Rambam in Halacha Aleph, Kol mitzvah sheva Torah, every mitzvah in the Torah, ben asei ben lo asei, whether it's a positive or negative commandment, im avar adam al achas mehen, if somebody violates one of them, ben bezodom ben mishkaga, whether it's on purpose or by accident, kishe ya'asa tshuva v'yashu mecheto, when he does tshuva. No, the Rambam doesn't say, you know, if he does tshuva, if a person chooses to do tshuva, he says that when you do tshuva, it's not a choice. Mm-hmm. And the reason that he knows that from the psukim is because the Chazal already tells us there's a havtacha, there's a promise that Hashem gives us that ultimately Bnei Yisrael will do tshuva. Now how we get to that point, whether we get to that point willingly or we're forced to that point because Hashem forces us into a situation where we admit that we're wrong and deserve whatever we got, is our choice, but it's kishayasa tshuva, when a person does tshuva. It's not a question of if a person is going to tshuva, when the person does tshuva, the yashu mecheta and returns from his chet, chayav lehisvados lifnei akel baruch hu. He has to avizo, he has to admit in front of Hashem that he did something wrong. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Isha Vishok Tiyasu Mikol Chasol Sadol Mo Baal Hashem Vashman Avshahi V'Hitzvadu Es Chatosam Asher Asa, that if a person, man or woman, violates one of the commandments, he has to admit the mistake that he made. V'zeh Vidui Dvarim V'Vidui Zeh Mitzvah Saseh, and just doing this vidui, admitting sins in front of Hashem, is already the fulfillment of a mitzvah. What is vidui? What constitutes vidui? Ketzad misvada. How does a person admit it? God, I did it wrong. Well, what exactly is a person supposed to say? Omer, a person should say, Ana Hashem, please Hashem, realize chatasi avisi pashati. Those are three different languages that connote a certain severity of chait, whether it was done you know, in the moment, whether I did it intending to rebel, whatever the reason was, the fanatha in front of us, sisi kach v'kach, and a person should admit what a person did. And we have that in our formal vidui al-chet on Yom Kippur. It was a very, very, very long list of specific chatoim. But generally, they're broad enough that it includes things under it. But if a person knows that he or she did something specific wrong, and can't figure out where it fits into that, which al-chet, then you just say it. In English, doesn't matter. You say, God, I sinned in front of you, I did whatever the particular chait is. The purpose of the vidui is to sort of guide us along. And usually the vidui that we have also tries to get to the root of the problem. That's why some of it's about haughtiness and about a perspective of other people, tzaras ayin. It's sometimes principles which, when violated, cause us to do multiple chatoim. The Chayei Adam and others have a list, a subcategory for each al-chayt of many sins that fit under that category. You say all of them might be there till after Yom Kippurim, but hopefully a person didn't violate all of them. But again, if a person knows that he or she did something specific wrong, so that's the vidui dvarim. That's the mitzvah of Yom Kippurim. That's more important than saying the al-chayt the way that they're written there, is to say, you know, God, I'm asking for forgiveness because I know I did X, Y, and Z wrong. But not just that I did it wrong. I regret and I'm embarrassed for what I did. And embarrassment is not an easy level to attain. And it's not only one place that the Rambam writes that being embarrassed for the chayt is essential. And the Rambam didn't make it up. We start out with the first words that we say in Tzlichos is V'cha Hashem Hatzdaka V'lonu Boshes Hapanim. You, God, are righteous, and we're shamefaced. We're to be embarrassed. But the truth is that Busha is maybe being able to achieve the feeling of Busha, of embarrassment, is fundamental to proper tshuva. To explain it a mashal, I think Ray Tversky once said this to me years ago. He said that if you think about it, when are you embarrassed about something that you did? If you're walking into a room, you know, full of people, and you know, you trip on your shoes and you fall flat on your face, you get up, you're pretty embarrassed. You know, everybody sees, you know, you just fell flat on your face. If you're walking into that very same room and there's absolutely nobody there, and you fall, so you look around, you know, you're safe, nobody saw. You're not embarrassed in front of yourself. Okay, I tripped, whatever, you clean yourself up, tie your shoelace, and move on with life. So the reason that boshes is so fundamental is that if a person doesn't feel embarrassed when they're sinning, nobody else is seeing, but there is somebody seeing, if you realize that God is watching, then you're going to be embarrassed. The same way if you're caught doing something by a spouse, by a parent, by a child, whatever it is, you make a mistake and you're caught by whoever it is, so you have that moment of embarrassment. So certainly the same thing should be true when it comes to a chait, when it comes to doing something wrong. So that's why boshes is really fundamental to tshuva, because what's going to get him? It's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says it. If you think about three things, you're not going to come to sin. If you realize that there is an ozen shomas, somebody's listening to everything you say. Ayin roa, somebody sees everything that you're doing. Va'kol ba'sefer nechtavin, and everything is written down, and it's basically like Facebook on steroids. Everything is out there. Whatever you do is recorded, and it has the audio, it has the video, and it has the permanence. It's got it all. But the fact that we don't see Hashem makes it more difficult to be able to feel that. So the sense of busha is a sort of a measuring rod of how sensitive we are to the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the fact that God has seen what I've done, and He knows what I did wrong, and it doesn't matter if anybody else sees it. The fact that God saw it is enough of a reason for me to be embarrassed.
And also the fact that so many stems from God, but you have an internal barometer as to who you feel you are. You should be embarrassed for yourself.
You should be, but you're still not going to be embarrassed. You still need to have that sense of somebody else. You might have disappointment in yourself. I mean, there are emotions. It could be embarrassed, but usually embarrassed, which I think why the Rambam focuses on it. Upset for sure. No.
That you feel was really not.
So that should definitely be true. That should be true, and it probably is true. When I'm sure times we look back and think, you know, what did I do? And nobody else knows what happens. And it's not. And sometimes, but sometimes that can even be without the sense of embarrassment, because it has to do with who I think I am and who I think I should be. And that's still very important, but that doesn't even get to the. You can have that still without the embarrassment, because you can have that sensitivity without realizing that you're in the presence of Hashem, which still takes it a step further. I think I saw it many years ago, and I couldn't find it. I looked for it again last year. I think Rav Eliyahu Lapian, in one of his Svarim on Chumash, writes. I think I saw it when I was in Karen Biavna. I don't know, just like. About 15 years ago, it stuck in my mind, but I couldn't find it. I looked a few months ago or last year. I don't remember. He says, I don't remember why he was saying it. I don't remember the context at all. But he talks about what's Gehenna. So he talks about going to Gehenna, not going to fire. This thing. Well, what is it? He says imagine that your neighbor has something, and you're in. Neighbors are often in each other's homes, and has this beautiful vase or whatever it is, some sort of or a silver something or other, which is this person's prized possession, and you absolutely love it. And every time you go there, you just you're looking at it. You're never gonna do anything. How could we? You're not gonna touch it. It's somebody else's thing. You're not that kind of person. You would never steal. You would never do anything. And this goes on over the course of years, and but it's something that you always sort of have your eye on. And then there's one time where your neighbor is away, and they ask you to go into the house to check the mail and to make sure that the lights are everything's in order, that it looks it has that lived in appearance. And and as you're there, you start looking and you're debating, and you pick it up and you're just like, no, will they really notice if it's not here? And you start putting it. Holding it and putting it into your bag, and that second the neighbor walks into the house, unexpectedly comes back, because you can make a different mashal, but it's that sense of embarrassment, because that's what Gehenna is, because that sense of the realization of how wrong you were and that somebody else has seen it, that again, and it's one of the most powerful, and I think it's a uniquely human. Emotion. I don't think animals get embarrassed. I don't know. I don't think so. I'm not sure anybody would feel. I'm not sure anybody would prove it. But it's a uniquely human emotion. He says that's the feeling. Because ultimately, what is Gehenna about? It's about this list of all the things that I've done being revealed in front of Hashem, and you realize that it's all I've been caught. And that feeling of being caught red-handed, he says that's what Gehenna is all about. And again, I think. More important for us, he goes, is this line of the Rambam, is that boshes, is that not just regret for what I've done, but if you can actually get to the point of feeling embarrassed for it, that is fundamental to tshuva. So that's, again, I have to admit the sin that I did such and such, I'm embarrassed over that I did it, I regret it, and eini chozer l'davar zeh, I'm not going to do it again. Those are the components of tshuva. Zahi hikaru shel vidui. This is the main point of vidui. So chol hamar v'lisvado sumariach binyan zeh reza meshubach. Right, the Rambam paraphrases beautifully the line that we have on the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chol hamar v'reza meshubach. The more you do it, it's laudatory. The same thing here as well. The more a person again. Speaks about it, and because also when you talk about it and you admit it, it makes it more real. When you sort of think in the back of your head, you could just say Hashem, no Bagad, no whatever, and sort of hide from the reality under these code words that the Chacham have given to us, then it sort of hides some of the emotions. So that it's much more powerful to say it, I did it. Hashem gave us a gift. Tshuva is a gift. I mean, the tshuva is a chesed. There's no reason me'ikar hadin, the strict letter of the law does not require that there be such a thing as tshuva. We don't necessarily give people second chances for things. A person really does something terrible to us, so we're supposed to be mocha the person. But sometimes We don't want to. We're not interested, and we're not going to forget about it. And the person can come back and say, I'm embarrassed for what I did. I regret it. I'm never going to do it again. I'm sorry for that I hurt you. And we're not necessarily so quick to let go of what happens. And yet Hashem says that even though you're in front of me and knowing that I'm all powerful, you've decided to go against my words when I told you explicitly not to do this, I still give you the gift. I still say, you do tshuva, and then the entire thing is going to be erased. It's a tremendous chesed that Hashem gives us, which is why Rabbi Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva that one of the worst chataim that a person can do, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, is to not do tshuva. Because not doing tshuva, being ma'achar, he says, delaying the tshuva, is saying, you gave me this gift, you gave me this opportunity, which you didn't have to give me. It really is a gift to come back to you, and I'm not interested. I'm pushing it off. You know, when I feel like it one day, when I get that inspiration, I'll get around to it. But the fact that we're given dates, you know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseret Meshuvah, Elul, we're given a time period where Hashem says, this is it, this is what you're supposed to do, I'm giving you the opportunity. And then we say, you know what, I'm not interested right now. When I get around to it, I'll do it. Because that's really the worst thing that a person can do during this time. Because it's basically taking it's like the person who's drowning and being thrown a rope to be pulled up. No, thank you. When I get around, you just hold it over there. When I get around to it, I'll grab it. What do you mean? This is your chance. If you want to take it, I'm doing you a favor. And it's not always the perspective that we have, because tshuva is built into our worldview, because that's the way Hashem made the world, and that's the way we experience it. But it didn't have to, it never had to be that way. Okay, well, we'll skip ahead. The Rambam, then, in the second Tarek, says, what is tshuva gemura? What's full tshuva? Eizohi tshuva gemura? How do I know when the tshuva is complete? The Rambam says, Zeh shebo liyado, full tshuva is when it comes to a person's hand, davar she'avar bo, the same opportunity to sin, like a person already had erred. Ve'esher biyado lasos, and he could have done it. It's the exact same scenario, and he could have done the exact same sin another time. Upirish, but he doesn't do it. Ve'lo aso mipnei tshuva, and the reason that he didn't do it is because of the tshuva that he did. Lo miyira v'lo mikishlam koach. It's not because he's afraid, and it's not because he doesn't have the same energy that he had for the desire is not as strong. Everything's exactly the same, the exact same scenario, the same circumstances, and the only reason I'm not going to do it is because I did tshuva. I realized that Hashem told me not to do this. I'm not going down that road again. Kesar, what's the example? He says, Harei shebo al isha ba'aveira, if somebody had an illicit relationship with a woman, ul'achar zman nisyacher iman, and then he was alone with her again. V'omei ba'avasoba, and he had the same strong feelings for her, b'koach gufo, when he was just as strong, u'b'medina shavrabo, the exact same place, u'pirish, and he doesn't do it, he separates himself, v'lo avar, and he doesn't do it, zehu ba'al tshuva gemura. That's somebody who's a ba'al tshuva, who's holding on to it, who has the ownership over his tshuva because the tshuva is complete. Husha Shlomo Omer, and that's what Shlomo says, Uzachoras Borecha be made Bechurosecha. And that's why Shlomo says that you should remember Hashem in your youth. What does he mean by that? Because it's not the same thing to do tshuva when you've grown old and you don't have the same desire, you don't have the same capability to sin that you once had. Right? Bimoshav, Ella bimei ziknusa, because if a person only does tshuva when he's older, ube'eshe'i esher lasos mashayosa, and at this point he's incapable of doing what it was. It was something that came from his youth. He doesn't have the same strong desire anymore that he had. He doesn't physically have the strength to do it anymore.
I don't agree.
Even though that's not the ideal form of tshuva, mo'ela silo, it still works, u'bal tshuvahu. And it's still considered to be about tshuva, but it doesn't have that added bonus. There's a higher level. Again, in tshuva, there are always different levels. Is the tshuva complete? Yes, the tshuva is complete, and the person is getting full credit, and a person shouldn't not do tshuva when they're older because of this. But the fact that a person can be in the same scenario and override it sort of puts the stamp on that. It's not just the tshuva of your mind anymore, but it's been a tshuva that's been put into action. That you agree with?
I do, but I think that as people get older, they get so comfortable in their ways, and they
explain everything. So that,
and you get older.
So I think that's true.
Say, well,
correct.
It's
no, so that's
to try to undo years.
So no, 100%. I think the Rambam is only talking about cases where the scenario changes when you're older than from when you're younger. If now, because of the situation, you think back to your youth and you think, you know, I used to, carry a couch on Shabbos without an Erev. That was what I had, this burning desire to do that. But now I'm old, I can't carry a couch, carry a couch anymore. So, I might as well do tshuva, so then it is not the same thing. But if we're talking about a sin in which there's no difference, I like cheeseburgers when I was 20, and I like them when I'm 50, I like them when I'm 70, right. And I can, my doctor might not like if I eat it, but I can still eat it, I still have the same passion for it, so then the tshuva is no different when the person is 70. You have a lot more to do tshuva for over the extra years, but the tshuva is the same. Afilu avar kol yomav, and it says the Rambam, and don't never despair. Even a person did avirus his entire life, va'asa tshuva biyom misaso, and he does tshuva on the day of his death, umeis b'tshuvaso, and he dies in that state of having done tshuva, kol avonosav nimchalan, all of his sins are forgiven. Umahi atshuva. Now again, he elaborates on what is the tshuva. He says, "Hushayazov hachotei cheto." Person has to again leave the chet. You have to distance yourself from it. Now he has a very strong, very powerful language. The asirenu mimachshavto. He has to almost remove it from his mind. It's not even an option anymore. It's not. Rabbi Tversky was here maybe last week. He mentioned, I think, what he thought this line meant. He said it's the difference between, how do you say it? I think he said the difference between somebody whose doctor tells him, if a person was, let's say, addicted to smoking, and the doctor says, you know, it's really not good for you and it's really going to cause problems, so he works very hard and it's a constant battle, he's not gonna do it anymore. But then when we have a different situation where the doctor says, you take one more cigarette at the end of you, it's just not even, it helps get rid of the fight, because it's just not an option anymore. It totally takes it off the table. And that's what the Rambam is trying to say. The Yasim Machshav doesn't mean you don't remember what happened in the past. We can't totally forget about the past. But what it means is that instead of it being a battle, now it's not that, and there is a greatness to it being a battle and overcoming the battle. But to be the Baal Tshuva where I put this behind me, now I'm going to work on new fights. I'm not going to, we spoke about this in the past, what the Rav Dessler called the Nekudas HaBechira, that everybody has a point of their Bechira at which they're battling. And there are certain things which aren't the battle for me anymore, and there are certain things that are beyond me, and I have to move towards that. And again, the goal in life is to constantly move it up the ladder. Meaning, for people who have been, you know, Shomer Shabbos the entire lives, I don't have a desire to drive a Shabbos. My Yitzer Hara isn't trying to get me to drive a Shabbos. It's not going to happen. It's not a battle that I'm faced with. So that's, you know, behind my Nekudas HaBechir. I'm past that already. My battlefront is on whatever it is, a different place. They Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a battle. So that's something where, you know, the Yitzer Hara might be pulling me in one direction, and the Yitzer Tov is pulling me, and I'm constantly battling there. And then there may be, you know, certain other mitzvot that are still beyond me. The Yitzer Tov will try to get me. The Yitzer Hara knows it's not worth spending his time on that, because there's very little chance he's going to do that anyway. And the goal in life is to, again, we get reward and punishment for all of those things, but in terms of where a person's energy is focused in terms of the battles with the Yetzer Hara, so everybody has to sort of figure out where that battle point is. What are my challenges right now, right, you know, today? Where am I challenged? So yes, the person who's challenged and overcomes them, it's a great battle. To be this Baal Tshuva can be at a point where, you know, it's not even an option anymore. I realize that God said no, I feel His presence, I'm not interested. It's not on the table anymore. The Yigmar Belibo, and he's going to, you know, concretize and decide with, you know, fully in his heart, I'm not going to do this again. This is no more. Mechain and Simon Yisnachim al Shavar, he has to regret what happened in the past. The Yoid Alav Yodea Ta'alumus Shalo Yoshuv Ozeachid Olam. Until God Himself can say testimony about this person, he's never going to come back to this sin. This line of the Rambam is very difficult.
I have a question.
Yes.
When we daven, let's say we say Yom Kippur, Kol Nidvei and everything, don't we hope that Hashem will forgive us whatever we did, you know, till from this year till the... So all our tshuva should be just what we did during the past year?
So it depends.
Let's say...
It depends. If a person didn't... That depends.
Yeah.
If a person didn't do tshuva on the previous chatarim, so then we assume that person should always do tshuva. There is some sort of kapara which comes as a gift, Yom HaKippurim, the day itself. That's the famous story of the Rav going out with his father on Yom Kippur as the sun was setting at Ne'ilah, and he asked the Rav, who was a little boy, so what do you see? And he says, I see the sunset. And he goes, no. He goes, what you see is the forgiveness of Klal Yisrael. Because that event, the setting of the sun Yom Kippur, means that Klal Yisrael were forgiven. As individuals, our responsibility in terms of moving up this tshuva ladder is always to do tshuva for anything we've done. The question is, if I've done something, I did something 20 years ago,
right?
I did something 20 years ago, I did tshuva on that, and it's not even on the radar screen anymore, do I have to continue to do tshuva? That's the machlokas. I think we do assume you don't necessarily have to do tshuva for anymore. But if you remember you did something and you never really did the active tshuva for it, so then, again, and I think oftentimes those are the battles, it's the ones that, and that's part of the frustrations in tshuva, is that, and Yom Kippur, is that I think we often feel like we're dealing with the same issues every year on Yom Kippur. I think Rabbi Twersky, when he was there, also mentioned the concept, he says that, I forgot which is the sefer he quoted it from, talks of the concept of doing tshuva on your tshuva, meaning... The idea being that I might have done tshuva on Chet X, you know, last year, but now that I've moved up the ladder so much, I can appreciate the fact that my tshuva wasn't really a full tshuva, because now that I'm closer to Hashem, I can do a better tshuva on that. And then you can always adjust and move yourself up. Again, one of the achets that we say is what's called vidui peh. Vidui peh means that we sit there saying the achets without meaning it. So within the achets, we say in achet, and asking for forgiveness for just, you know, last Yom Kippur, I sat here listing off all these chatayim and it didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything with it. And again, that gets a little bit to this line in the Rambam. What does the Rambam mean that you have to say you're going to never going to come back to it until God Himself can say testimony you're never going to come back to this faith again? I don't know. It doesn't seem to leave much hope for, I don't know, at least for me. I don't know about everybody else. God Himself is going to say testimony, I'm never going to do it again. I think, so then every time that we do something, that means that the tshuva was no good, because again, God knows the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if I do tshuva on something, and then, you know, you slip up, you know, months down the line, you know, that means that my tshuva was never good. So I think the way they explain the Rambam, that no, there's nothing, we have the chira, we can always choose to do or not to do. What the Rambam, I think, means is that at the moment that you're doing the tshuva, Hashem can testify that this tshuva is a tshuva which can last. Meaning it's a legitimate tshuva, and if you hold on to the tshuva the way you're doing it right now, you'll never come back to the sin again. Whether we're going to make that decision in the future to hold on to what we accomplished on Yom Kippur, that's our decision. That doesn't determine whether the tshuva was a good tshuva or not. The tshuva was a good tshuva. If I did it, if I really did it, and I really intended that I'm never going to go back to this again, I'm forging a new path again, and I'm picking the areas in which I need to work, and I'm not going to do it again, then as long as Hashem could say at this moment, this was a tshuva which can last, then that's a tshuva gemura. If I come back to it later, that doesn't, I mean, you have to be honest with yourself to know, that doesn't necessarily mean that my tshuva wasn't good at the time. That means that I had a choice, whether I could stick with what I decided and what I resolved to do, or no, I made a mistake, and therefore I'm back in the process and need to make the changes again.
So why is it, let us ask honestly, you can do tshuva and say, I'll never completely do it again. But the idea of tshuva gemura is not there anymore. Like, why would one...
Because it's a level of tshuva. That's what the Rambam said before. Afilu avar kol yom, a person violates avirus his entire life. But also tshuva b'yom misaso, when he does tshuva, and then he died. And he dies with that tshuva, he gets mechila.
Mm-hmm.
Now is that going to be, you know, when the Gemara says that b'makom shebali tshuva omdin afilu tzadikim gevurin and omdin, that there's a certain special place close to Hashem where bali tshuva can reach, where even tzadikim can't reach, because again the challenge of having experienced chet and being able to push it away and move up, is something which somebody who's a tzaddik may not have experienced, and gives the person certain, for lack of a better term, called credits or merits in front of God. So there are levels within tshuva. That tshuva is not going to get to that level, but it's enough to wipe away avonos, which again, at that point, is the best that the person can hope for. And then the Rambam says, "Kol mitzvah debidvarim." Anybody who just says this, goes through the motions of tshuva, v'lo gomar belibo lazov, but he hasn't made a decision. What am I going to do tomorrow? I'm probably going to do the same thing again. But right now, what am I supposed to do? It's Yom Kippur. So I'll say what I'm supposed to. I'll say what I'm supposed to say. Hariz et domel et tova v'sheretz biyado. It's like going into the mikvah while you're holding on to a sheretz. The sheretz generates tuma. So when you go into the mikvah holding a sheretz, the tefillah doesn't work. You can't become tar even inside the mikvah until you throw away the sherets. And that's what the Rambam says. Again, there's a lot more in the Rambam. I just wanted to finish off with the idea. I've spoken about it. I spoke about it a few years ago in shul, but I think it's instructive for tshuva. Is the Medrash says in Shir HaShirim, it says, "Bini, my son, pitzuli pesach echa shel tshuva, open up for me one opening of tshuva, kechuda shamachat, small one, just like the head of the pin, a tiny, tiny hole. If you open that up, v'ani eftach lachem psachem shafilu agolos ukronos nechnasim bo. If you open that up, then I will widen it so that even chariots would be able to pass through." What does that mean? What's the Medrash trying to tell us? What's this promise that Hashem is saying? It seems to be that he's saying that just do a little bit of tshuva, and I'll help you the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? The Rambam just told us so many times there are three components to tshuva. You have to regret what you did, you have to admit what you did, and say you're not going to come back to it. So which one can I leave out? How do I just part? The Rambam was very clear. I need to do all three. If I just do the vidoy and say I regret it, and I'm not planning on coming back to it tomorrow, I raise that domel tovo v'sheretz biyado. It's like going to the mikvah with the sheretz. It doesn't work. It's meaningless. So what exactly does the medrash mean? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he has a collection of letters in the Or Yisrael that he wrote to his Talmidim, that were again put together. A few of them have to do with Yom Kippur, with tshuva in general. So he explains something very interesting. He says that different people can do the exact same mitzvah or aveira and be rewarded or punished very differently. Mm-hmm. I could do the same thing as you, and our rewards or punishments will be totally different. Why is that? How is that possible? Because, as we say in Pirkei Avos, l'fum tzara agra, our reward is determined according to the effort that's put into it, or the pain that's involved in it. So he comes up with the concept. He says that every mitzvah we can divide into two categories. Even within the mitzvah, you can have the kal, the easy, and you can have the kaved, the heavy or the more difficult. Now, whether something is going to be kal or kaved, whether something is going to be easy or difficult, is going to depend on you, on your circumstances, on your history, on your life experiences, on the circumstances in front of you, on the pressures you have in life. There are going to be so many different aspects that determine if a particular challenge is going to be hard or easy for you. Again, even if the same exact thing may be much easier, much harder for somebody else. So again, just as a mashal. So he said like this. He said, let's take Lashon Hara for example. The difference, again, you can have a case when a person says Lashon Hara about a spouse or a best friend versus the person that sits down the row and shul that you don't really care for. So the challenge of saying Lashon Hara is much more difficult. Again, your desire to say the Lashon Hara is much stronger when it comes to the person that you don't particularly like than when it comes to your spouse, who you care for, or it comes to a good friend. Right? So therefore, the reward for not speaking Lashon Hara is going to be greater if you don't say the Lashon Hara about the person you don't like. Because there, you've overcome. The challenge was much greater. There was much more of a desire to speak poorly about, badly about this person. And you said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to overcome it. What challenge is there about my best friend not to spread a bad rumor? I wouldn't want to. And the flip side is also true. The punishment for saying Lashon Hara about the spouse or about the best friend is going to be much worse, because it wasn't as big a challenge, is going to be much worse than the punishment for saying about the person I don't like. Yeah, that's the concept that he developed. This is an example. Within every mitzvah you can come up with an example. I know with men coming to minyan. So, you know, maybe if you're in a certain routine, so then coming to minyan is easy. And so then, you know, versus somebody who is, you know, it's the weekend, you know, during the week you're on a certain schedule. On the weekend suddenly you wanna sleep late. So it just changes the equation. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that the difference between the easy and the difficult within one mitzvah, like the case we just had within Lashon Hara, is as stark as the difference between two different mitzvahs or two different averos. The importance of that is as follows. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that you can do tshuva on part of a mitzvah or an avera. And he says, and perhaps this is what the Medrash means in Shir HaShirim. You can do tshuva on the, what we call the easy aspect of Lashon Hara. If you know you spoke Lashon Hara about your best friend, so that's a much easier tshuva to do. Okay, you know, I realize it's wrong, I'm really not going to do this again, and I really, really mean it. So you can do a full tshuva, all three parts. I regret it, I admit it, I'm not going to do it again. On the easy parts within a mitzvah, and that's considered to be like you did tshuva for an entire mitzvah. You still have to do tshuva for the rest, but at least now we have a full tshuva on part. And that's what the Medrash means. If you do that, if you start by just doing the small things, then I'll open it up and I will help you expand that. You're still going to have to do the tshuva, but now I'm going to help you. You took that first step and did tshuva for something which is easy. Now I'm going to expand that into something which is more difficult. The Chiddush being that it's not enough to do part of a whole, or you can't do one or two aspects of the three parts of tshuva, but to do a whole of part is enough. You could do a full tshuva, all three parts, on part of a mitzvah, on the easier aspects of a mitzvah, and that's going to be considered to be, I'm about tshuva when it comes to this. I still have a ways to go, I still have other things to do, but now Hashem can say, I'm going to help you. As long as you've done something complete, so now I'm going to help you the rest of the way. I think it's an important idea to keep in mind, because the task of tshuva sometimes seems very daunting, and when it seems daunting, we sort of, you know, crawl back into our shells and don't necessarily actively participate as well. But I think with this idea of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, there's a first step that you could take. If you sit down before Rosh Hashanah and start thinking, okay, there are certain things that I've done, and it really wouldn't be so hard for me not to do them. There are certain things that I've done that it's going to be harder. And again, the goal has to be to do all of it. Not trying to get it, you know, kick it off totally easily. The goal has to be to try and fix it all. But you try to bite off too much at one time, it's not going to work. So says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, start with the small things. Pick something small and really resolve, I'm not going to do this again. I'm going to put a safeguard in place to make sure, you know, if I know, when I speak to so-and-so, I always end up talking about this person and I've never talked with this person. Otherwise, okay, I'm going to avoid so-and-so. I'm not going to talk to that person. Or I'm not going to talk to that person, you know, as in the situations in which it would evoke these types of conversations. But with this message of Yisrael Salanter, then I think putting the ideas of tshuva of the Rambam is, and then even with the pasuk that we start with, Ki Mitzvah Zos, it's not rachok, it's not so far. Because if we take the small steps first, then we're moving in the right direction. And then we still have to try, but then we know that we have a promise that Hashem is going to help us. And that if we make those first steps and we do a full tshuva on the things that aren't so hard for us, on the, you know, the silly mistakes that we've made, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to open up the rest for you, I'm going to give you that help. And then hopefully, if we can do the tshuva shlema, will all be signs for a ksivach sima tova, good kevench to you.
Amen. Amen.